cauliflower parmesan bites, chicken wings, flour-free pizza, and even ice cream sandwiches. It's all gluten-free, and it's delicious.
The Corner Pub at 15824 Fountain Plaza Drive and 13645 Big Ben Road.
Hollywood Casino St. Louis is the place to party before and after every concert this year. Whether you want to chill on the 99 Hops House patio, enjoying a great selection of brews, or if you want to try your luck on the casino floor. They also offer VIP packages, hotel, free slot play, food credits, and transportation to and from the concert with your own VIP entrance. Enjoy the show. Must be 21. Gambling problem? In Missouri, call 1-888-BETS-OFF or visit 888-BETS-OFF.org.
Looking for extra cash? Jewels on Hampton in St. Louis Hills pays some of the highest prices for diamonds, gold, silver, semi-precious stones, coins, flatware, and currency. Located at 4506 Hampton Avenue, just three blocks south of Chippewa. Learn more at jewelsonhampton.com or call 314-752-5000. That's 314-752-5000. Jewels on Hampton, paying some of the highest prices.
Every great success story starts with one brave decision. And if you're one of the millions of Americans with college credit but no degree, one brave decision is all that stands between you and the future you want. At Maryville University, we know returning to college takes courage, but your decision isn't really about going back to school. It's about moving forward. And we'll be with you every step of the way. Let's be brave together. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
Who's ready for a USDA Prime steak? You won't find USDA Prime beef at the grocery store because it's graded as the highest 2% of beef sold in the country, and its supply is gobbled up by all the finest restaurants. At Surf and Sirloin, located on eastbound Manchester Road just west of 270, that's what's on the menu. USDA Prime, 14-ounce New York strip, 16-ounce ribeye, 22-ounce porterhouse, or a barrel-cut filet mignon. And with fresh seafood flown in daily, Surf and Sirloin. For reservations, call 822-3637 or through the app OpenTable or online at surfandsirloin.com.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call.
Well, apparently we have somebody on the phone we've never spoken to before. Dan types the names on the screen, and I look and I see there's somebody named Johnny Lobdoff, L-O-B-D-O-F-F. Let's bring him on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, John Lobdoff. Mr. Lobdoff, how are you?
Well, I'm doing just fine tonight. Just wonder how you're doing there, Mr. Franco. I just thought I'd talk, you know, the way Dan types.
That sounds like Sylvester Stallone a little bit.
It does.
I do as you want me to do, Frank. I talk the way you want me to talk right now. So what's going on?
Well,
how are you?
Well, I'm fine. I doubt that you got to hear what we were talking about earlier because you work a lot harder than we do, but we were asking the question. And I'll ask you, if you had to disappear, like right now, just all of a sudden you realized you had to vanish because I'll make up a scenario of somebody in the mob was looking for you, the police are after you. You know that if you get caught, something bad's happening. So you have to disappear. What's the very first thing that comes to mind that you would do to disappear?
What would I do?
Yeah, well, let me give you an example. Let me give you an example.
Where would I go?
No, not necessarily where you would go. To get there, you have to do other things. Like, for example, Limey said the first thing you do is get rid of his phone. We all agreed you have to ditch your phone because they'll track your phone. He also said he would get on public transportation, a bus or something, just to get somewhere, anywhere. And then Tim said, and I agree with Tim, and I had this in my head too, is cash. Get cash as quickly as you can without anybody noticing you're getting it. Either a safe at home if you have it, or have a friend get you some cash because they'll know that you were at an ATM. So what do you think you'd do first? I said the very first thing is I'd get
it. I know what you're doing. You're watching way too many detective movies.
No. No, I'm not.
Too much Dateline.
No,
I don't. You know?
I don't watch Dateline. They're two kids.
You know, you should get scared if your wife starts watching Snap.
You know what that is?
I don't know what that is.
Watch out for that.
I don't know what that is.
Or if your wife starts watching Forensic Files, because that show teaches you how to kill other people, because it teaches you the dumb mistakes everybody made when they got caught killing other people.
John, there are two teenage boys.
That's coming from a private investigator right there.
John, there are two teenage boys on the loose in Canada. The murderers, okay, and they're on the run, and they've managed to stay hidden in a way and not be caught for a couple of weeks. That's the reason I've thought of this before when there's a manhunt and they're looking for my, the first thing I would do is get a hat because the description would go out and bald would be a big part of it. I'd have a hat on immediately all the time. Another guy
Why not a wig?
Because to get a wig would mean I'd have to go in somewhere and get a wig, and that's a dead giveaway, and they'd call the police going, hey, I know you're looking for, because the APB would be out, everybody would know they're looking for this bald guy. No, a wig would be a transaction that would have to take place in the store. No, I have hats, I have caps, I put on a cap. The other thing I said I'd do is immediately start growing a beard. If I can stay on the run a week or two, in 2 weeks you wouldn't recognize, because I have a really heavy beard, so I'd have a cap and a beard and sunglasses, so now it's hard to spot the clean-shaven bald guy.
That just told me, I think you should grow a beard.
I've done it twice.
Yeah.
I've done it twice.
All right, well, I think you should do it now. I think you should go with a beard.
I said the same thing.
No, I don't.
Go with a beard.
I don't like it.
Let's just see. Well, how about if we say grow a beard for charity?
No.
How about we all don't shave for the next, 2 weeks?
Say, hey, donate, you know, keep donating money, and I'll keep, you'll keep growing your beard. And the money goes to Backstoppers.
Look, you know? Look, okay. I mean, you're putting me on the spot here. Yeah,
that's a great idea.
I would never put myself in a position. But obviously, you've been thinking about this, so I'm a little worried as to why you're thinking. Yes, you are. You've been thinking about.
No, I think about it like I think about other things. I've thought about what would it be like to be in a three-way with two chicks. I'm just thinking about it. Come on, every guy thinks about that. Two hot women, but it doesn't mean I'm planning it. I just think it's fun to think about. Now, here's the other question: to get away,
at your age, you should not be thinking about that. The three-way.
Well, what does that mean? Because I can't run.
I'm just thinking about it.
Well, I can't run, that's for sure. But Tim, I agree with another thing Tim said. I forget trains, planes, anything. Water. Somehow get on a boat, some guy's boat, give him some cash and say, get me to the Bermuda, the Bahamas, or whatever. Where do you think you'd go?
I would go to Canada. I mean, that was on the tip of my tongue. I was going to say that. I sure the hell wouldn't go to Mexico.
Okay, but they're going to be looking.
You couldn't pay me to go to Mexico. If somebody's around, I'm going to give you an unbelievable trip to Mexico. I'm like, give it to somebody else.
To get to Canada, actually, you're going to have a passport.
Canada has extradition treaties. Brazil doesn't. So I go through Mexico, and then I end up in Brazil. That way,
you're safe.
That way you can go and spell it. You can even put on Facebook, hey, guess where I am?
But you got to cross.
And then Mimi Lana will tell you that you will get a flesh-eating disease when you go into the ocean. So.
Well, the chances of that are slim. But to get to Mexico, you got to cross the border. Now you're talking about passport. How are you going to get to Mexico?
Well, we've already decided I'm going to be bribing a fisherman, like Tim said.
Okay. You're able to bribe someone in Mexico to get across the border.
Okay. I don't know. I think it's fun to think about, for whatever reason. But so that was all. What would you do to change your appearance? You could grow a beard because you don't have a beard. The first thing you should do is start growing a beard. Hope you can hide out long enough for the beard to come in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can grow a beard. I can grow a beard pretty quickly, but it comes out. It's white.
Sure.
I look like I'm about after about a week and a half. I look like I'm about 90 years old.
That would throw, really, but that would throw them off even more. They glance up and see a white guy with a beard.
But then you get a cane.
Then I'd go and get that.
Dan just said something that gave me an even better idea. Dan said get a cane. I'd get a wheelchair.
You get a cane and kind of...
No, I would be in a wheelchair immediately. They're not looking for a disabled person. I'd be in a wheelchair.
If you grow the beard...
If you have to get up and run,
I can't run.
He runs like a duck anyway.
Yeah, I can't run. I can barely walk. I can't run. The good thing, what you got going for you is you're...
When was the last time you went for a run?
I was 8. I believe I was 8 years old or 12. I don't run.
1958.
Yeah, I don't run.
The video you did with your daughter, I think, video when you crawling up the hill at your house when she made you go for a walk. Now, that was funny.
I think it was my wife.
That out again.
We were hiking, and, I don't run. I have not run in a long time. I can't run. I just can't. I'm not a runner. I don't know. I can't explain why, but I was that kid in high school. They were, okay, we're going to run a mile, and they start the stopwatch. I was always the last kid. Oh, where is he? Oh, there he is, way back there. It was embarrassing. People make fun of me. I just can't run. Not everybody can run. That's one thing you got going for you if you did try to pull this off is you can run. That would come in handy if you're on the lam. And what does that mean anyway? Why is it on the lam? Why do they say that, I wonder? On the lam.
So what do these two kids do? And you said they're teenagers?
They're murderers. They killed three people up in Canada, and they're hunting for them. And so far, they haven't been able to find them.
Oh, they killed them in Canada?
Yeah.
How did I not hear about it? I guess, you know why I didn't hear about
because you're too busy selling cars to people who are AM and the PM.
I'm busy making transportation dreams come true to the AM and the PM crowd.
There you go.
Because I'm AM and the PM.
All right, he's AM and the PM.
Lam is a verb used... used to run away quickly, escape, or flee. So lam is an actual word to mean run quickly. On the lam means you were running away quickly.
Why not on the quarter horse or on the gazelle?
Because lam, it's L-A-M, there's no B.
Oh, okay. It's not the animal. Okay, no. Got it. How's business?
What was that?
That was Tim explaining why we use the expression, he's on the lam.
Somebody hit the phone. It beep.
No, we didn't hear it. We didn't hear it.
What?
That was just on your end. We did not hear it.
All right, so we were busy. Last day of the month.
Yes.
July 31st.
That's right.
You know, people always ask, when's the best day to come in and get a car? Well, every day is a great day. If you're AM or the PM, it doesn't matter. You're getting a great price no matter what. You got to tell us I'm AM and the PM.
You know what I don't like, and I hope you never...
I was on a roll there.
Okay.
Fine. I was on a roll.
Sorry.
I was getting on a roll.
Sorry.
And then, you just cut my legs right out from underneath me. My dad would say, son, you know, in that lunch meeting, I was talking about something, and you interrupted me. You cut my legs right out from underneath me.
Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
I lost my train of thought now. But no, I'll tell you what, it's a great day to buy a car at Johnny Law and Duff Chevrolet. Great day today at Johnny Law and Duff Chevrolet. Come and see us. But
what I was going to say is, I hope you never do this. I see every once in a while commercials. I saw one last night, and they say things like, you'll never see deals like this again. Well, guess what? When this sale is over, I'm never coming to your place. That, to me, that's basically saying to people, after Saturday or whenever the sale's over, we're going to might as well close up because we've just told you you're never going to get a deal like this after this sale. I think that's a bad advertising.
I'll never forget, like, some of the furniture stores going out of business sale.
Yeah.
Going out of business sale. And the going out of business sale lasts for, like, 6 months.
Oh, yeah.
Now, how long does it take to sell a whole bunch of beds and nightstands and the dresser drawers? I mean, so, you know, they just keep flooding it with, more stuff. We have a sale every day.
See?
At Johnny Law & Duff Chevrolet.
As it
every
should be.
Day, there's a sale day at Johnny Law & Duff Chevrolet. All right? So we're talking about when you're AM and the PM, be careful because you are going to be wowed. You're going to be a wow experience. How much fun you have buying a car. That's probably the things I love to hear the most besides thank you is, the first time that we've ever bought a car from you and we've never had a better experience. And I'm like, good. That means we're doing something right. And the thing that I did right was when you gazed into my eyes.
Oh, here we go.
At that racetrack.
Don't use terms like gaze in your eyes.
You gave me that look. I'm like, I got to help this guy out.
Hold on. Help me out. Oh, my. Hold on. Wait.
Did he blink at you?
No. Let me tell people what really happened. John's son, Timmy, came up to me, and he was crying. He wasn't crying out loud, but there was a tear, and he said, aren't you Franco Pena? I said, yes. He said, you think you could save my daddy's business? And I said, well, son, I said, who are you? And he said, I'm Timmy Londoff. I'm his son. And my brothers and I would like to keep eating and going to school and us to be able to keep our house. I said, I'll see what I can do. And then he introduced me to his dad. And now look what happens. Look, boom, success after more success. And business is great.
And then you guys gaze into each other's eyes.
Well, no, I don't like that. Not really, no.
So I'm telling you what, we're having a great day. I know that we've had already a couple of AM and the PM. And another thing is there's AM and the PM listeners are so unbelievable. They're so nice.
They are.
they're so funny. They're always smiling. But sometimes they're a little shy about, like, telling me that they're aiming to be them. Like, we're aiming to be them. Like, come on. Shout it out. Go to the mountaintop.
Yeah.
Shout it out. You're aiming to be them.
That's right.
Come on. I mean, just let everybody know, because we love the aim of the PM crowd. So we're going to be open late tonight. Monday they didn't gather there until 10 after 10. I'm just telling you, who knows how late it'll be. But we'll be here for the aim of the PM crowd. So give us a call. That's if you're not on the run. Cause no, I don't think their aim of the PM crowd are on the run.
No.
You know?
No.
They're just happy. 314-837-1800, 314-837-1800, 24/7, 365,
All right, John. Thank you, and we'll talk soon.
Frank and the team, thank you for all you do. I appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
John Londoff. You know, before I met him, like 5 minutes before I met him, there was a, I told the story before, there was a salesperson from the radio station there. And salespeople at radio stations have encounters, for lack of a better word, with all kinds of business people who advertise. They call on them, they solicit their business. He came up to me and he said, have you ever met John Londoff? And I said, no, I met his dad years ago. I said, but it's interesting, I haven't. And I've met most every car dealer because I've bought lots of cars. And here's what he said. He said, you need to meet him. He said, I think he's probably the nicest car dealer I've ever met, maybe the nicest person I've ever met. And I still remember that he said that. And then the reason he said it is there are some car dealers, not all, who are the biggest D-bags that you will ever meet. They don't give two hoots about the customer. They don't. Because I've been in meetings with them behind closed doors where they make it pretty clear they don't want to go and meet customers. They just don't. They hide from customers.
I sold cars for 6 months at a dealership that shall remain nameless.
And the owners were that way.
Yes.
You don't meet the owners of those places because they don't want to meet you. So I know what he meant when he meant the nicest car dealer ever meet, because I've met some that were... I've quit working for two that I can think of where I just said, I can't advertise for you anymore. And I wanted to say because you're a D-bag, but I didn't say that. So proud to have him on board, and you know how to help us thank him and everybody else you hear me speak for, and that is to let them know your AM and the PM. Music Maestro. There it is. Always sounds like Christmas to me when I hear it. Doesn't it sound like a Christmas song?
It does.
Oh, yeah. She just, is that Doris Day or Patti Page? We said, I forgot already.
I think it's Doris Day.
I think it's Patti Page.
Yeah.
Oh, either one. They're both dead, so whoever that is, she's dead. It's time to talk to Dr. Doug Pernikoff. He's your pet's best friend and the official veterinarian of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. He's brought to you by Window World, number one selling replacement window in the United States. And you can find out more about him at windowworldst.louis.com. Here are the phone numbers. I don't see one call. Now, folks, you know how this works. The smart people call early. You have a dog, you have a cat, you have a lizard, you have a snake, you have a monkey, whatever. Or you're thinking about a pet but not sure which one to get. You need some advice, you need some help, he's here. Here are the numbers smart people will call right now. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
It is Patti Page.
Patti Page. How you doing, Doc?
I am AM in the PM.
This actually caused me to think of a question to ask you. We're talking about these two alleged murderers, these teenagers in Canada who are on the run. Do they not still, as they did decades ago, turn bloodhounds loose to look for people? I think they do.
I think so.
Well, they do that, you know, it depends on the situation. If it's out in the woods, yeah, that would make sense. If they're looking for, God forbid, body parts, they have cadaver dogs.
Yeah.
Trained.
They used them on after 9/11. They used them in that
exactly.
Aftermath.
One, one I know came from St. Louis, actually, and it was one of the top Portuguese water dogs, one of the top trackers in the whole world, found too many bodies.
So the hunt, if what I see on TV and the movies is right, if let's say they're in the woods and they're going to send these bloodhounds in the woods, they let them smell an article of clothing the person wore.
Right.
And then
right.
the dogs are turned loose, and they track them that way. What about the ones trained for body parts? Are they German Shepherds, or what are they generally?
They can be any kind of... they'll use bloodhounds. They'll use these Portuguese water dogs. Are rare, but they're very, very effective. I think a lot of dogs can be trained for it. Any of the field dogs, you know, like the sporting dogs, would be first... choice, I imagine.
But it seems to me that every narcotics sniffing dog I've ever seen is always a German Shepherd, when hunting dogs are other breeds. I've never understood why.
I think they're all capable. Yeah. I guess it just depends on what's been kind of familiarized or normalized for the industry.
Right.
But in fact, they used to have it. I don't know the last time they did it. They used to have it Six Flags on the grounds. They would have an annual big conference they'd have all these kinds of dogs that did all kinds of body, live and dead parts, and they actually put cadaver parts out in that area.
What?
And, I was the vet in charge one time, and they would, you know, have competitions there.
Whoa.
And dogs from all over the world would come out there. I just hope they always picked up the after parts.
Yeah, no kidding. So you want to take some calls?
I sure would.
All right. Well, lines are full, but folks.
And I am AM.
Thought we could throw him off. He's AM. I thought we could throw him.
I couldn't remember if I said it or not.
Did he say it before? Well, you know what? We're both got dementia, because I don't remember it either. You didn't remember it. I didn't remember it. So we're both losing it. Folks, real quickly, here's how this works. We got the lines full, but as soon as somebody finishes, 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. We start with Denise. Denise, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hi, Dr. Doug.
Hi, D-Nice.
Yeah, that's a funny one. That's a good one.
Ha, 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 ha.
Ben's a nephew, which is what I usually hear.
Yeah. What's up, Denise?
So I have a dog. It's a 2-year-old golden doodle.
Okay.
And in many ways, he is the smartest dog I've ever had, and I've had dogs my whole life.
Denise, I'm sorry. Hold on. I have to interrupt you. Limey just, when you coughed or sneezed or something, and he cannot be excluded from what we always do. Give it to yourself.
Oh, no, wrong one.
Okay, now, go ahead, Denise. Golden doodle.
My golden doodle is incredibly smart and truly one of the smartest dogs I've ever known. Definitely the smartest dog I've ever had in many ways. Except he's a scaredy dog. As in, currently I am sitting on the 55, somewhere between the 270 and 143, at a dead stop. And my dog in the car with me is crawling to the other side of a car because he's afraid of the trucks next to me. He is, I take him into the city and walk, I don't live in the city, so I take him in and a city bus, my brave little warrior is hiding behind my legs. All 80 pounds of him is hiding behind me. But he is incredibly sweet and devoted and obedient and, as I said, frighteningly smart. But it's this. And it's not just new experiences. 2 years, he will not go down the basement stairs. He'll go upstairs to the second floor of the house and down like a champ. And it's all wooden stairs, but he won't go down to the basement. Not if the other dog goes first, not if I tempt him with treats. He just won't do it.
What if you put a female dog in heat down in the basement? Would he go down there then?
Well, he's fixed. So I'm hoping not.
What if you threw him
that would not be a factor. Yeah, well, you know, honestly, at 80 pounds, he's a little bit big.
Okay, he's not afraid of stairs because you said the stairs upstairs, the main level to the upstairs, he'll go up and down those, right? He just won't go in the basement. So he's gone downstairs before.
Oh, yeah, every day, a dozen times, up and down. It's a game he plays. He plays hide and seek, and it's great at it. But the problem is, it's not just, these are just examples of the kinds of things that he is just strangely afraid of, and it's complete fear-based.
Wow.
I mean, so, he's cowering and he's hiding behind me.
So, Doc, my first question would be, Denise, you live in the country? You live outside the city? The quiet place?
Yeah, I'm in a small town outside the city. Right. So we don't have buses and...
How old was the dog the first time it was exposed to a bus or some noises and traffic? A puppy?
4 months.
Oh,
yeah,
shoot.
4 months. I mean, I had him in the car with me, and he's always been this way, and it's gotten worse.
All right, before Dr. Doug addresses this, I'm going to just say, I think some dogs just inherently, they're just afraid of certain things. My grandson has a new Labradoodle, or I think that's what it is, a golden, whatever, I can't even remember now. But this dog, we went to a 4th of July fireworks celebration. I mean, we were really close. Boom, boom, boom. Dog slept, never flinched. Thunder, lightning, nothing. Just the opposite. This dog is not afraid of, doesn't even twitch for noises. Your dog is just the opposite. Doc, what does she do?
He's not afraid of noises. He's done, I had him in a fireworks display. I took him into Chicago, Navy Pier and Grant Park for the fireworks, the crowds. None of that scared him. He watched the fireworks and was enraptured with it. He watches TV,
and
he likes that.
So thunder. Thunder doesn't bother him.
Nope. Thunder doesn't bother him. Noise doesn't bother him.
So it's big things that he sees. Big trucks, buses, that stuff. It's visual.
Trucks is just so far.
Since it's an emotion-based kind of thing, it sounds like you're emphasizing. I think there are a lot of options for you. Number one, you want to talk to a trainer, behavioral trainer, fear in dogs is a hard thing to get rid of. But what they would do is have you go on incremental short rides and this and that and get them used to that and make the end point a big event like a place to play with treats or whatever so that there's a reward based on the end of it. That's what I'm thinking. But the other thing I would do is talk to your veterinarian because there's a ton of new medications out that we use to help take that anxiety away, which is behind some of that fear. So, and there are some that are short-term and there are some that are longer-term drugs. So there are some that you'd probably be able to use just for the one incident, single incident of an event, travel. And there are others that he might need just to take the edge off more generally. But yeah, I think you have a combination of training.
I have two quick questions with that. So basically, very gradual exposure therapy and the medications. Now, the anxiety meds that for dogs, I'm concerned about contraindications I've heard with anxiety meds, and poodles specifically, which is half of his breed, are prone to kidney problems. Can you address that?
It probably depends on the specific drug in the dog, but I haven't seen those kind of problems. That would be more probably long-term use, and what we're hoping to do in this case is with the combined training and the pharmacology try and get him passed over the hump so that he doesn't need to be on drugs for a long time. But and the other thing your vet can do is if you pick a drug that you have to use all the time, then you would just monitor kidney function. It doesn't change overnight unless it's a serious toxin like antifreeze or something like that, and that's not what you're dealing
with.
So I don't think that should be a primary concern for you, especially for a young, healthy dog. I would say just decide with your veterinarian what's the best protocol in training and drugs and get it done, and after you've made progress, you can reevaluate and decide what needs to be.
But, Doc, is it possible that no matter what you do, a dog is always going? I've known and seen dogs that, let's say, motorcycles. That's always a good one. They can't stand motorcycles. Yeah. And no matter how many times they see one and realize it's not going to hurt you, every time they see this, like the first time they ever saw it, they're just as freaked out as they were the first time. It doesn't go away. Is it possible that there's nothing you can do?
Yeah, it's certainly possible that you won't ever get rid of the problem. Doesn't mean you could suppress the response with the things we just talked about. You may always have some underlying issue for an individual dog, but I can tell you what's kind of unusual with this one, and after all the years I practiced, I don't remember having something as a fear-based thing that is so kind of very specific.
Yeah, and, like movement.
So I think that there's a chance to do something. And set up a protocol and give it a couple of months. It might take a couple of months, but I think it's possibly resolvable.
Our dog.
You know, it's really sad that my dog is going to be on medication.
Yeah, but
psychopharmacology.
Not forever. Not forever. Not forever. Just to, what, Dan? Dan wants to say something.
I was going
to
say, our dog is scared to death of the dishwasher when we turn it on.
Yeah.
It will run and hide. And it doesn't matter what. If Sandy is loading the dishwasher.
Who's Sandy?
My girlfriend. If she's loading the dishwasher and she reaches for one of those pods to put in there,
yeah.
He runs with his tail between his legs and runs upstairs.
Wow.
Scared to death. It's like a monster.
Sorry, everybody. This is, I've got just a hiccup in my throat right now.
Sorry, you had to hear that. I hope it helps. And remember too, the dog won't be on psycho whatever forever. It's just to get them until they get used to the big trucks and stuff.
And I also think Dan should not be washing his dog in the washing machine in the
dishwasher. That's why that's why the dog's afraid of.
Oh, you shouldn't put him in there.
Denise, thank you for the call, I hope that helps. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Bye bye. Line is open. You know what that means. Jump on it. 855-282-8255. 314-821-0590. Joe, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug. Hey, Joe. How are you? AM and the PM.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah. So we have a Dachshund. It's a 2-year-old Dachshund, and we've had him since a puppy, and we had a big problem about potty training. So we're doing the cage where we put him in there and let him out, and he goes outside to go potty. So we go on vacation, and some of our relatives give him some of these, I don't know what to call them, it's almost like a diaper that goes around just his midsection. My wife wants to keep him on it because he does have some accidents in the house. But isn't this in the message to the dog? You know, now you can go any time you want.
Man, that's what I would think. I would think you're going, well, okay. Yeah, you're not going to go outside. Here's a diaper. Well, Doc, what do you think?
Well, that's the way I behave with my human diapers on now.
Oh, boy.
I just got lazy about it. But,
my goodness.
I think that, the diaper thing, I have actually seen people use that regularly, and it was very useful. And if you have trouble, I can tell you, I used to raise dachshunds. They are one of the most stubborn, difficult animals to train for potty and stuff to be consistent. They're stubborn. But,
this is our second one. I agree. I mean,
yeah, so you we always talk about this, but you rule out the other issues, like for inappropriate urination, that you don't have a urinary tract infection, a bladder infection, or something like that. If that's all normal, then I would talk to you, either your veterinarian and or a trainer, to try and work on methods to get that dog retrained. And in the meanwhile, when he is out and you're not sure what's going on, I think putting one of those little belly band diapers is a very reasonable thing to do. Like I said, I've seen it applied very successfully, and it's just a little bit of a pain in the tush because you have to mess with it. But after that,
but how in any way that's a convenience for you and doesn't mess up the floor? But how does that help teach the dog to go outside?
Well, it doesn't. No, but I said as you're teaching and working with the changes and medical conditions in the interim, that you would probably use the diaper successfully as a guard. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, Joe, your wife's not completely wrong. I hate to tell you.
No, it's a first, though.
No. All right, Joe. Thank you, Joe. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Can I tell you something? It's like a pet peeve. I can't stand it. No offense, Joe, but people say potty. You potty train kids. You housebreak dogs. Potty training is for children. You know, you're not training a dog to go to the pot, use the pot.
It's a phrase.
Yeah, but
speech.
I don't
think
like
it's acceptable to both.
I know, but it's just me. Yeah. It's just me. No, it's me. It's just a thing I have.
It just drives you crazy.
It's like nobody says housebreak the dog anymore. It's all potty training. It's housebreak.
That's the we have to be anthropomorphic. We assign human characteristics and traits to our pets.
I guess, apparently. Line's open, 855-282-8255.
It's cool that I give you an opinion on things like that, though, right?
Like what?
Like what I just said.
Yeah.
Potty training.
My pleasure.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. 314-821-0590.
Come on, Ray. You grouch.
Come on, what?
I just said my pleasure. I said something else that gets on your
nerves. You hate it. My pleasure.
I'm not going to be grouchy about two things in a row.
Oh.
I used up my grouchiness on body training. Oh. I'm not going to do it back to back. I separate it. I like to separate the grouchiness.
Would you like me to turn Bill up so we can hear him?
Sure. I haven't said hi to Bill.
My pleasure.
See, the second time, it's not funny. Bill, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hello, Dr. Doug. How are you this afternoon?
Hey, good, Bill. How are you?
Pretty good. I'm aiming the PM.
Thank you.
The situation I have is my son's dog. It's about a 10-year-old black lab, and it constantly pants. No matter if it's excited or if it's not excited, or just...
That's pretty good. Pretty good impression.
Yeah.
What is that about, doctor?
Well, that sounded like my wife.
Oh, man. Lucky.
Looks like her. Looks like her, too.
Lucky. Oh, no. Wow. Hold on. Hold on.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by. We will return to our regularly scheduled program momentarily. Please stay tuned.
We just had a little discussion, talk with Tim, and he understands now that what he did was, you know, inappropriate. Saying that's your job to say things about your wife, Dr.
That's
Doug.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
So my screen is dead. I have nothing on my screen, Limey. There it is. It's back.
Bill.
So Bill.
Bill.
Yeah.
Bill.
Yeah. What? Bill. No, that's reserved for the other guy. Well, so what do you think, Doc? Do some dogs just pant all the time?
Well, you know, number one, my first question is, how long ago did you notice it start?
Years.
Okay. So again, it could be just his behavior. They do pant. They pant to actually exchange heat out of their body. Like, they don't have sweat glands except for between their feet. So, and they're not as prominently developed as they are in a human, for instance. So when they're trying to exchange heat, they use that tongue, and it exchanges the moisture and air flow is what helps cool them off. And you're talking about typically a good-sized dog with a deep coat, and if he's outside or he's been playing, they're going to pant. Now, that being said, again, a 10-year-old dog is old enough to have some pathology going on, and as long as you know he's been heartworm checked regularly and kept on heartworm preventative, and maybe the doctor wants to listen to the chest and make sure he doesn't hear any unusual sounds other than normal panting, he could take an x-ray of the chest and rule out any nasty diseases. So, and most good vets would suggest a bit of a workup, but it might end up being
Bill, when you say years, the dog's 10 years old. Did the dog do this when it was 2 years old?
Well, I really don't know, because my son got it when she was about, about seven or whatever, so at least the last 3 years, and even in a nice, cool house.
Wow.
All the time.
So I would definitely have let the veterinarian listen to the chest and make sure that he's up to date on his heartworm, because if you have heartworm disease, that can take years to create pathology, or even if the heartworm were there and gone before your son acquired the dog, there could have been changes that, you know, scarring in the lung field and stuff. So if you want to really know, there are things to do. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
I'll pan on out of here.
Okay. All right. Do it twice. There'll be a pair of pants. Thank you. There goes Bill, and I don't see anybody else,
Bill.
So I think we're out of time and out of callers, and we'll wrap it up and do this next week, if that's okay with you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Dr. Doug Pernikoff, everybody. Brought to you by Window World. number one selling replacement window in the United States, the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues. They partnered with the St. Louis Blues before the season started. Somebody at Window World had a really good idea. This was the season. If you're gonna partner with the Blues, that was a good call. The preferred partner, preferred window of St. Louis Blues. More at windowworldstlouis.com. I don't do impressions. I think I do a decent Bill Clinton. I did a pretty good John Kennedy and Ted Kennedy and Robert Kennedy. They all sounded the same, but then they all decided, or at least the Teddy and Robert, to sort of lose the Boston thing and didn't quite have that sort of same thing they had in the early days. And then, I did not have sex with her. I did, but if you look at Hillary, you'll know why and you'll understand.
Walter Brennan's a good one.
Walter Brennan I can do, but most people don't know who that is. But now there's a guy on the horizon. And he was on the horizon before, but he's back. Bernie Sanders. And I think I'm going to be able to get this down. And I guarantee you there are stand-up comics who are just praying that Bernie Sanders becomes president. Because his voice, there'll be a lot of people doing it. I'm working on it. But play me a little Bernie Sanders here.
Medicare for All is comprehensive. It covers all health care needs for senior citizens. It will finally include dental care, hearing aids,
Medicare for All. He's got sort of a way. He's Boston accent, but he chops up his words like this.
Your key word there needs to be senior citizens.
Senior citizens.
Like
Medicare
that.
For All, not just senior citizens. And that's the way it should be. I think I'm going to work. I'm going to get this.
You're getting so close. That sounds great.
Now, Joe Biden, I can sort of hear his voice. I'm trying to figure out which of these candidates are going to be the easiest to do impressions of. Top of the list is Sanders, Bernie Sanders.
He's got the most recognizable voice. Joe Biden, to me, just sounds like a more laid-back kind of Midwest accent.
Yeah, the thing about Bernie Sanders is it always sounds like he's upset about having a heart attack, a stroke or something. He's just always on edge, you know. You know what I'm saying?
You've got to talk with your hands.
You know who he reminds me of is Doc in Back to the Future.
That wispy,
raspy hair, that wild look in his eyes, and
yes,
Marty, no,
Marty,
Marty,
what
you gotta go back to the future. I'm gonna go to the future, and I'm gonna run for president. I'm gonna be the president of the United States one of these days.
1.21 gigawatts.
Yeah, and now a conversation, between Dr. Emmett Brown from Back to the Future and Bernie Sanders. I'll start.
Dr. Brown, good to see you.
Hi, Bernie.
I don't know if you know it or not, but I'm running for president, and I'd like to see everybody get Medicare and health care, not just the senior citizens. And I know you're a senior citizen. How do you feel about what I'm doing?
I think it's fabulous, because I would have to travel back in time to get some stuff for medical.
There it is. Ed Brown, Bernie Sanders. Now, this Pete Buttigieg or whatever that.
Buttigieg.
It's Pete. Yeah, he says it's pronounced boot edges, like two words. Buttigieg. That's how he says you pronounce it. You hiccup.
I did.
Yeah, he's running for president. He's the mayor or something of some place in Indiana.
Rude, but is that the gay one?
Yeah,
is that the gay guy?
Yeah.
Okay,
Buttigieg. He. I heard him say. He said himself. People are always messing up my name. Think of these two words, boot and edges. Boot edges. He says that's how you pronounce it.
Boot edges.
I saw him. I heard him say that. Boot edges. Yeah. Edge of your booty. Pete. He's
edge of your booty.
Now, who are they? It's like 2,500 people who are running.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, they have to have two nights to do this debate. Who else is in there?
Oh, booty gig.
No.
I'm just saying it's spelled Buttigieg.
Right. He says it's pronounced boot edge edge.
Yeah, boot edges. Right.
Boot edge edge.
Boot edge 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 twice.
Well, that's exactly the same as I just said. Boot edges, boot edge edge. Well, same thing.
Well, there's a song actually. It says how to say his name.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, boot edge edge.
Pete Boot Edge.
So he's married to another guy.
Yeah.
So which are they both?
No.
The husband?
Now, you know what? Now that's a $64,000 question. I don't.
Look, I know in the case of my brother yeah, is gay, and he's been married to a guy for 30 years.
Do you mean who takes whose
no,
name?
No. One is always the masculine, and one's the feminine.
No, I seriously meant when they introduced each other in public, do they both introduce the other one as their husband?
No, yeah, partner. I'm pretty sure.
Well, partner. See,
they don't exactly say husband. No, they don't say husband or wife. They say partner. They don't say husband. This
now,
husband.
If he ended up becoming president...
Now, I have heard lesbians say she's my wife.
If he became president, what would his partner be called? The first lady? The first partner?
It could be the first husband.
I have no idea. First partner. I don't know. First man? First dude?
First flamer?
First...
Is
he a flamer, though?
I'm saying, is that derogatory to a gay person to call him a flamer?
It is. I think so.
I don't know. I don't think Buttigieg displays a lot of effeminate. He's not Buttigieg. That's what I said. He's not overtly, you know, flamboyantly gay. And I don't know about his partner. I don't know. But I do think usually there is one who is not as effeminate as the other. I could be wrong. Gay people call me. I guess I've never asked my brother, are you the husband or the wife? I've never
asked him.
Send
him a text.
That.
Let's find out.
First pal.
I'm not going to do that. We don't. We text each other once a year and that's it. We're not exactly real close.
First pal.
I do believe that, and I believe in my, well, not, that's not for me to say it. That would be his call. I absolutely know of gay couples where it's obvious the one guy's the husband.
Let me tell you, dictionary.com has synonyms for homosexual. Okay. So here are some candidates for first blank.
Okay.
All right.
First.
First invert.
Invert.
First queen.
Okay. Now I've even heard Elton John refer.
Invert.
No, Elton John's referred to himself as a queen.
What's invert?
First bender.
Bender.
No, I don't think that's
first. That can't be right.
First. Nope. Here's my favorite. First cupcake.
Well, depending on choice, first receiver. Depending on who does what. First. Now, I'm going to say a word that they have brought back. It's in LGBTQ, queer. First queer, would that be acceptable?
Mm-hmm. If he identifies as queer, sure.
Well, he is queer.
Well,
he's gay.
No,
queer.
He's the G part.
What?
In the LGBTQIA, whatever, he's the G because he's gay.
Yes.
Like, if you identify as queer, then you're queer. Just because you're gay doesn't make you queer.
See, I didn't know that.
Dictionary.com has synonyms for homosexuals. They rank them as rarely used, informal, and offensive.
Okay, well,
are these all offensive?
Some of them are offensive.
Okay,
what's
formal,
then?
Let's do the formal.
Yeah.
Okay. What are the formal ones?
First friend of Dorothy.
What?
They call gay people are called friend of Dorothy.
I've heard friend of Barbara Streisand.
First swish.
Okay. Is that considered? That's not considered offensive.
No.
First swish.
Offensive would be wonk.
Okay. We're not going to read the offensive.
Okay.
What?
Oh, okay.
But we're trying to figure out if he becomes president, what do you call his partner? I say first partner. I bet that's what they go with. First of all, he's not going to get elected. But if they did, first partner.
Anything.
What are the other formal or informal?
How do you say his name again?
That's it. All the rest are considered offensive.
It's not Pete Buttigieg. Though you're getting pretty close. It's not Pete Bowling. Jewish. Sound it out. It's not Pete Butthole. Here's how it's pronounced.
Did he say Pete Butthole?
Yeah.
Butthole. I think he said Pete Butthole.
He said Boat-toe.
Oh. Pete Buttigieg. Hard to say three times in a row.
It's not.
And then there's this Beto O'Rourke.
Yeah, Beto O'Rourke.
Beto. Which is not even his name. It's not Beto. It's not his name. It's like a nickname or something. I saw people last night. I didn't even know they were. I've never seen them or heard of them.
I can honestly tell you, I have absolutely no idea who is running
by the
for
way,
president right now.
Why would you not drop out right now if you're like Beto O'Rourke? I mean, you've got to know.
What's that one girl's name?
Joe Biden. You're not going to be Joe Biden.
Because Warren. All they're doing is trying to pad their resume for in like 20 years when they're still alive.
Yeah, I ran and for president. Yeah,
and then they
president.
Can run again.
Yeah, that's I guess that's it. Well, we've solved just about everything and addressed just about everything, and now it's time to play.
I bet Obedo's not going to make it.
So stupid, it's funny.
No, it's actually so stupid, it's actually not funny.
It's stupid.
You're the only one that didn't laugh.
Well, if you guys laugh, then that's two out of three. It makes it funny.
You're so grumpy.
Way to go, Dad. Yeah, the Playhouse is coming up. I have a really, they're all, I think, pretty much good jokes, but I got a good one for you today. Been here almost 2 years, only told it once. So maybe most of you have forgotten it. It'll be like brand new again. That and, of course, Bill Cleveland and Mike Evans. It's all coming your way after the news because it is 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Doug Vaughn. You are listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.